It's being described as a serious escalation in the conflict in the Middle East. The deaths of at least seven members of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, including a senior commander and his deputy, in an airstrike on the Iranian consulate building in the Syrian capital, Damascus. The building next door to the Iranian embassy was destroyed. Iran and Syria have both blamed Israel for the attack. Israel says it doesn't comment on foreign media reports. Well, to discuss this, plus an attack on an aid convoy in Gaza, and what's been happening at the Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City, Dan Williams, correspondent with the Reuters news agency in Jerusalem, joined us. So is it unlikely to have been anyone else but Israel who carried out this airstrike on the Iranian consulate?
I think that's a fair assumption. We're also hearing now reports in American media that the Biden administration has quietly informed the Iranians that it was not involved in that incident, and I think NBC quoted a US official as saying that the United States heard about this only as the planes were on their way, which would suggest very strongly that the United States does know who carried this out, and on a level of intimacy that would allow the United States to be informed about an operational mission underway. I don't think there's very much doubt about Israel having been responsible.
And could you explain for us why the Iranian presence in Syria would be targeted?
Israel for many years now has been warning that its arch foe, Iran, keep in mind that Iran since the 1979 Islamic Revolution in that country, one of its centerpiece foreign policy elements is pursuing the destruction of Israel on ideological grounds. And it has actually been fostering and encouraging like-minded guerrilla groups, militia groups, militant groups around Israel. Those include Hamas, Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah in Lebanon, militias in Syria, as far away in Yemen and Iraq as well. As what the Israelis see this is basically a stranglehold, an attempt to surround it with fire, in the words of one Israeli official I spoke to. And that would appear to have played out over the last half year of escalation between Israel and Hamas in Gaza and knock-on violence with Hezbollah in Lebanon, from Syria, from Iraq, from Yemen, etc. Now, the Iranians have a core military organization called the Revolutionary Guard Corps. It's kind of a military within a military, and even that organization has a group that specializes in overseas attacks called the Quds Force. Quds refers to Jerusalem, and that's not coincidental. And this man who was killed in or in the vicinity of the Iranian embassy in Syria, along with apparently six of his comrades from the same organization, is said to have been the lead coordinator for such operations in Syria and Lebanon. As I said, Lebanon is where Hezbollah is based and is most active. So if Israel did this, and it's a safe assumption that it did, presumably it's trying to remove, or it was trying to remove, a major element of that chain of command and control that Iran wields over like-minded proxy groups in the vicinity of Israel.
So the big question now, isn't it, is how will Iran respond?
Yes, I think it is, without a doubt it will. This was not just a blow at a very senior member of its military apparatus and six senior or mid-level officers in that same apparatus. It was also a blow at a symbol of Iranian sovereignty. An Iranian embassy, as you noted, in a friendly country, in a friendly third-party country, Syria. So I think it's beyond doubt that Israel will have raised alert levels at its embassies internationally. I expect the Israeli military garrison in northern Israel on the Syrian and Lebanese fronts will be on especially high alert now. And to judge from the commentary today in the media, I think it's a foregone conclusion that there will be perhaps direct Iranian retaliation, which we haven't really seen so far in this war. We've seen more indirect Iranian action through proxy groups.
I want to come back to Gaza and talk about the aid workers who are reported to have been killed in Gaza. The number is put at seven at the moment, reportedly, in what their charity founder said was an Israeli attack. The founder of World Central Kitchen, Jose Andres, said that his staff had been killed in an IDF airstrike. Two of them were said to be British and Polish. A third was Australian. And the Australian Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, condemned the attack, which killed one of his citizens, Lalzami Zomi Frankum.
We certainly have already contacted the Israeli government directly. We are contacting the Israeli ambassador. to ask for accountability here. The truth is that this is beyond any reasonable circumstance. That someone going about providing aid and humanitarian assistance should lose their life. And there were four aid workers as well as Palestinian driver in this vehicle. This is a human tragedy that should never have occurred, that is completely unacceptable.
Dan Williams in Jerusalem. Dan, they're not the first aid workers to die since October the 7th in these attacks. There's believed to be at least 100 killed since then. What's known, though, about this latest attack?
I don't think anyone disputes the clip you just heard, certainly not on the Israeli side, where the chief of staff of the Israeli military has personally appointed an investigation. I heard a military statement also referring to this as a tragedy. There will be a serious review, I imagine, of operational standards in the Gaza Strip. Assuming this was Israel, Israel has yet to confirm that, but assuming it was Israel and given the energy that the Israelis are applying to their investigation, that would indicate they believe that this was one of their operations. They will be doing a review of that. It's worth noting that this organization was operating in Gaza with the blessing and at the invitation of the Israelis. Indeed, to my knowledge, they've also conducted food drives within Israel for needy Israelis. And some Israeli officials were looking at them as a potential successor to UNRWA, which is the longstanding UN aid organization for Palestinian refugees, which Israel has long accused of being too close to Hamas and wants to see replaced in Gaza. So it's hard to see that there was any Israeli interest in doing this deliberately. Definitely a dismal, dismal event. And Israel will be having very, very hard conversations with its Western partners, certainly the ones which lost nationals in this event.
I want to ask you finally about Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City, the largest hospital in Gaza. That two-week Israeli operation there is over. The place is in almost complete ruins. What is Israel saying was achieved?
Israel says that the hospital basically turned into an ad hoc a base for Hamas and Islamic Jihad. It was there for 2 weeks. It turned up 2 weeks ago by surprise, apparently surprising a number of people who were inside. There were thousands of people inside, not just patients receiving treatment, but also people seeking shelter from the war. And Israel says that in the course of fighting within the complex, and it has provided footage, including aerial footage, including GoPro footage from soldiers, that there were clashes within a number of wards, a number of departments there with hold-up gunmen. It says 200 gunmen were killed, some 500 suspected members of Hamas and Islamic Jihad. It actually says it's confirmed their membership by now, were also detained, and two Israeli soldiers were killed in the course of that. According to the Palestinians, there were hundreds of what they described as displaced Palestinians who were killed there. They dispute the Israeli account. And I think there's no disputing that the place was ravaged and it may have been knocked out as a hospital for the foreseeable future. Israel would say that this was a search that is allowed by the rules of war, and that it responded with fire when fired upon. The Palestinians would say that this was a protected site, a site that had protected status. But this operation is now over for now, and it would appear that whoever wants to return there, whether it's patients or staff or gunmen or what have you, it's going to require extensive repairs before it returns to be a functioning hospital.
Dan Williams, correspondent with the Reuters news agency, joining us from Jerusalem.